you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
LAist Studios.
A good Sunday to you. This is the weekend edition of the LA Report from LAist 89.3. I'm Julia Paskin, and coming up after the news, California's COVID emergency might officially be over, but the effects of the pandemic are not. Many people continue to suffer from long COVID symptoms. We'll hear from those frustrated with their ongoing battle and why they feel like they're on their own. That story's coming up in just a few minutes, but first, here's the news.
Thousands of runners are participating in the LA Marathon today. The 26-mile route began at Dodger Stadium, is winding through LA and ending up in Century City. Our own Erica Washington, who is the How to LA Newsletter Associate Editor, is running the marathon for the first time, and we checked in with her right before she got started.
There was a lot of traffic getting here. My mom and my friend, they were with me. So I actually had to get out the car in traffic and just walk myself here to the Dodger Stadium. So
Wow. There's
so many people here, thousands of people. So, yeah, it feels good. I feel good.
And anything that you have planned in terms of pacing yourself, like how are you going to get through that whole route?
Yeah, I will definitely take it slow. Everybody I've talked to has definitely said to take it slow. So I'm going to keep a nice pace around 11 to 12 minutes. Maybe walk a little bit. You know, this is my first marathon, so I'm here to enjoy it. It's a nice way to see the city where I'm from, L.A. You know, it's a nice little tour by foot.
Well, thank you so much for making time to talk. Good luck. Stay hydrated, stay safe, and can't wait to hear how it goes.
Thank you so much, Julia.
That's Erica Washington, who hosts the How to LA newsletter. Read about Erica's journey prepping for her very first marathon. And also, we've got a full list of street closures at LAist.com. Do you worry that too much food in your kitchen goes to waste? Or about how to stretch a dollar a little further with rising food prices? A new cookbook instructs how to make the most of what's in your kitchen. It's called The Everlasting Meal, Leftovers A to Z. And author Tamar Adler joins us now. Welcome to Weekend Edition.
Thank you.
I have to say, I love how the book is organized like an encyclopedia. So instead of looking for the name of a dish in your cookbook, you look for the ingredients that you have, and then the book tells you that what you can do with it. The entries range from stale marshmallows to limp leftover salad. Tell us more about what folks will find in the book.
When I first set out to write the book, I really wanted it to include every leftover in the world. That was too lofty a goal. So I had to scale it back a little bit, but I did try to include sort of anything that I could imagine somebody looking at and going, I just don't know whether I should think of you as an ingredient or as something that has whose life is past. And I was able to do a survey to find out what people had the most in their fridge and had the most questions about. And there was a lot of uniformity, which was really great. It seems like a lot of people deal with old bread, which is wonderful because old bread is maybe the most amazing leftover ingredient. It can take so many different forms in its various lives. Everybody has at least one stalk of bendy celery. I don't know how that celery all gets into our crisper drawers, but it's in every single drawer.
Some of your recipes focus on things that you might not think to use, like making pesto from the tops of carrots, and others make use of cooked leftovers. Can you give us an example of that?
I have a lot of recipes for leftover cooked broccoli and leftover cooked cauliflower, which range from mixing them with a little bit of diced and cooked down onion and laying them out in a pan and covering them with breadcrumbs and making them into a gratin, or combining them with a little bechamel sauce to make it into a creamy gratin, to pureeing a whole bunch of them together. Ideally, like green and white together is good, and then the oranges together. Because if you do green, like broccoli, and orange, like squash, it's like very tan, like maybe a little too tan, but delicious. cooking those with a little bit of extra cream and then pureeing them into a kind of smash for a crostino. Even meat or fish that's been overcooked, you know, you end up with that sort of cottony chicken breast. I have a bunch of recipes for, because the truth is that the magic of cooking is there is almost always something that you can do to take whatever material it is and make it delicious.
You are an award-winning chef and author. You were with Chez Panisse, so you obviously know a lot about fine dining and gourmet food. But your book illustrates that good quality food doesn't have to always mean more expensive. Does this reflect your philosophy about food as a chef?
It absolutely does. And I think it's something that so many of us sort of know and believe. We just haven't had it articulated. We travel to other countries to eat in other cultures and eat ribollita in Italy and eat pan con tomate in Spain and gazpacho in Spain and eat dumplings in China and fried rice in so many places in the world. And all of those are founded on and can't be made without something that to a certain eye, to an unpracticed eye, would look like garbage, because stock is made from bones and ribollita and pan con tomate and gazpacho are made from old dry bread. Dumplings were invented because there was a small amount of meat and it had to feed a lot of people. You know, all of this, so many of the great culinary treasures of the world were born of frugality and the incredibly beautiful human desire for pleasure.
That's Tamar Adler on her new cookbook, The Everlasting Meal, Leftovers A to Z. You can catch her in person at Now Serving. That's this Thursday, March 23rd at 7 p.m. Wildflower season is underway, and in our region, there's a free seasonal weekly hotline with the scoop on what to see and where.
If you prefer to view wildflowers through your windshield, cruise Highway 223 east of Arbon toward Highway 58. Swaths of golden orange fiddlenecks and bright blue lupins sprinkled with white popcorn flowers occupy the roadsides and hills.
That's actor Joe Spano voicing the Theodore Payne Wildflower Hotline for this week. You can call the 800 number or listen on the Theodore Payne Foundation website. A judge has ruled that a lawsuit challenging the city's laws on street vending can move forward. Currently, the city bans street vending in lucrative areas like the Crypto Arena or the Hollywood Boulevard. The city cites health, safety, and welfare concerns. Brandon Payet, a staff attorney with Public Counsel, says the city has not conducted any studies showing the vendors are a public safety risk.
Many, many other types of businesses are allowed to take up space on the sidewalk. And so when the city is saying they have to ban sidewalk vending because of health, safety, and welfare concerns, but for example, through their Alfresco program, are allowing brick and mortar restaurants to set up tables and chairs.
Payet helps represent a coalition of street vendors suing the city. In other news, LA Mayor Karen Bass says a recent proposal by the union that represents LAPD officers is unfair to rank-and-file officers. The LA Police Protective League called on the department to start an unarmed police unit to deal with non-violent calls. It's in response to complaints about armed officers responding to mental health crisis calls. Mayor Bass says she prefers to lean on city health care professionals.
Police knock on the door, guns drawn, and tell the individual to calm down. A person who is having a psychotic break is not going to understand that, and they are going to escalate. And police officers aren't trained to do that, and I don't think it's fair.
The union wants unarmed officers to go through special training, while armed officers would be nearby if a situation does turn violent. New decorative crosswalks have been installed in Sylmar at a few intersections along San Fernando Road. The corridor is an area where safety has been an issue for pedestrians, bicyclists, and drivers who share the same space. For the past 3 years, a local bookstore called Tia Chucha's has been collaborating with the city to add the crosswalks, which were finally unveiled earlier this week. The crosswalks are painted with Mishka symbols that represent the indigenous roots of the community in Sylmar. Tia Chucha Executive Director Michael Centeno says one symbol is the sochil, or flower, which represents the abundance of art and culture in the neighborhood.
The other symbol we chose was olin, which is representative of movement. So movement, you know, within our lives, but also the movement in nature. and then also to coincide with the movement, that the literal movement that's happening in our communities, on our streets, by our people.
LA Councilmember Monica Rodriguez represents Sylmar and says the crosswalks have both cultural value and address safety concerns. We'll be right back after this short break.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Welcome back to the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. California recently ended its COVID emergency, and the world seems to be moving on. But many people still suffer from the lingering symptoms, what's known as long COVID, and they're getting frustrated. Our senior health reporter, Jackie Fortier, spoke with some of them who say now they're on their own.
During his State of the Union address, President Biden said the U.S. is recovering from the pandemic.
Today, COVID no longer controls our lives.
Hearing that is extremely disappointing and infuriating.
Shelby Hedgecock is one of the estimated 15 million adults in the U.S. who are currently suffering from long COVID. With the federal health emergency ending in May and masks seen as a thing of the past, Hedgecock says people with long COVID feel like they're on their own.
You know, we were injured by this virus. Patients are losing hope. We feel swept under the rug.
People with long COVID are no longer contagious, but health issues related to their COVID infection stretch on and on. It's linked to more than 200 symptoms, says Dr. Linda Gang, co-director of the Stanford Long COVID Clinic.
It is a complex, likely multi-system condition, and it can be quite debilitating.
Symptoms vary significantly from severe fatigue to chronic pain. Hedgecock didn't get enough oxygen. The resulting brain injury meant she couldn't read for over a year.
I ended up discovering after having an EEG, I experienced a hypoxic brain injury and left temporal lobe slowing of my brain.
Before the spring of 2020, when she got infected, Hedgecock was working as a personal trainer in LA. Now she's in pain every day. She doesn't leave her apartment without a medical alert button that can instantly call an ambulance.
I've passed out in the shower before. I've passed out alone at home before.
Hedgecock moved from L.A. back home to live with her family in Tennessee because she can't be alone. She's developed overlapping conditions and sometimes has life-threatening relapses.
It's hard. I never dealt with anything like this before COVID, and it's been life-changing.
Unable to work, some people with long COVID say they've even lost their jobs and homes. It's also led to a breakdown in relationships. Julia Landis says her extended family doesn't believe her condition is serious.
If this were cancer, I'd be living with family. I'm sure of it.
Landis is one of an estimated 575,000 adults in California with long COVID so severe it impacts their daily lives.
That's been the hardest part, is not really feeling like anybody really cares in the family.
Many long COVID patients feel dismissed by doctors. Linda Rosenthal asked that staff wear masks at her Orange County cardiologist's office. If she got COVID again, she could end up in the hospital. Days later, she received a letter. The cardiologist was no longer willing to be her doctor.
It just throws another thing in your path that makes it more difficult to get care that I deserve.
We don't know why some people develop long COVID and others don't, says LA cardiologist and long COVID patient Alice Perlowski.
There is not one specific test that can particularly identify it. I wouldn't assume that you can't get long COVID because you had COVID a couple times and were fine. Everyone is at risk for this condition.
Antivirals cut the risk of developing long COVID if you're newly infected. But for people already suffering, medical science is trying to catch up. I'm Jackie Fortier.
Thank you for listening to the weekend edition of the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. We'll be back tomorrow with the AM and PM editions to deliver you more of what's happening in LA and Southern California. Until then, you can read more at LAist.com or listen live anytime on the LAist app or on the radio on 89.3 FM. The LA Report is produced by Michael Cosentino. Catherine Mailhouse is the Director of Content Development. Our editor is Megan Garvey, and our engineer is Sean Corey Campbell. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live. LAist Studios. The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.